God's word comes to us this morning in the second chapter of the book of the Acts, reading beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, bless this word to our hearts that we may remember, that we may honor, and that we may live in such a way as to reflect your will for us. Amen. Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church, has written that for churches in the 21st century, the key is going to be church health. The story of the church's early life in Acts 2 details four signs of a healthy church populated by healthy Christians. Listen once again, to verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This one verse gives us an up-close picture of the developing church following Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. I could describe the scene in this way. Look, Mommy and Daddy, Grandma and Grandpa, get your cameras ready. Little church is about to take its first steps, and you don't want to miss it. They're going to learn, they're going to fellowship, they're going to break bread, and they're going to pray together. It was exciting. And if you think about it, a church will only be as healthy as those who belong to that church. So let's use Acts chapter 2, verse 42, to take a little assessment of our spiritual health this morning. The first sign of healthy Christians is that they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. The New American Standard translation of this verse reads, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching," reflecting more literally the tense of the verb. Continually. It means they stuck to it. They didn't give up. They persevered and persisted. A Christian who is led by the Holy Spirit does not give up. The mark of a true church is not the attendance count or how beautiful the sanctuary looks. The important issue is whether the church holds to the teachings of the prophets and the apostles and of Jesus himself. Christians who are alive in their faith have a teachable spirit, have a hunger to learn more and more of God's word and to participate more and more in God's work. Albert Barnes once wrote, "Christians who are hungry for the Holy Spirit-inspired teaching will take time to be exposed to it." Now, that sounds reasonable to me. These are Christians like those mentioned in Acts 17. These Jews were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. Solomon, in writing to whoever would listen to him, said, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than the sacrifice offered by fools." Friends, this is the first spiritual health check for today. Can those around you see a person who is interested in God's word and who has a natural curiosity for the things of God. Another sign of healthy Christians is their fellowship with others. Fellowship, the Greek word koinonia, means to share in something which involves participation. There are many other translations to the word koinonia: participation, sharing, partnership, community. And the practical application is sharing material goods, as we heard Bob read in the rest of this passage. All of these are rooted in the spiritual reality of a connection between fellow believers that begins with a connection to Christ. Christians not only devote themselves to the apostles' teachings, but unite in the work of spreading the gospel. The Sunday School Times once ran an interesting story about Christians in China, where there were several missionaries working together. They held services, and one man in particular attended regularly, showing much evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in his life. So one day, in conversation, he acknowledged that he was a Christian, that he no longer worshiped his ancestors in the custom of his culture. This occurred at the Chinese New Year, when he was supposed to perform ritual sacrifices to his ancestors. When he refused, he was given 15 days to recant or be beaten with a whip 1,000 times. As the 15 days passed, a Christian from a different Chinese clan went to talk to the head of the clan who had sentenced the man, and the Christian explained, "We cannot stand by and watch our brother in Christ suffer alone. So we propose that you insist on carrying out this sentence by all of us joining him and taking our share of the lashes as well." The head of the clan responded by saying, "Had I known that you Christians shared all things among yourselves, such a verdict would never have been passed." And in the end, the Christian man nor anyone else in his clan received any of the lashes. A healthy Christian has fellowship with other Christian believers because he or she shares experiences with them by building faith and trust. All church leaders feel disappointment from time to time, and 4 years ago, I was disappointed in a number. We were doing a photo directory for our church, and 150 people came and sat for the photographer to have their pictures taken. The reason it disappointed me is that we have over 300 family units in our congregation. So only half of the people in our church felt it was worthy to be known in the fellowship of Jesus Christ here at Kenmar. So I have a hard time understanding where their sense of fellowship was, that we are in the body of Christ together, that we belong to one another. And I'll share another little side note, because our directory is over 4 years old. We're about due for a new one, friends. So you'll have an opportunity to answer that call and come and have your photo taken when the new directory is being compiled. Our children are 4 years older now, so they look very different, even though some of you would like to look 4 years younger. We're going to do a new update to our directory. So besides teaching and fellowship, the first Christians observed another practice, the breaking of the bread. This phrase is idiomatic of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. Other fellowships call Eucharist. The bread is in remembrance of Christ's body given for us. The cup is for remembering his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we consider all that God in Christ has done for us, we will want to participate in communion with other believers. A powerful ruler once built a great palace. Among the rooms was a room always locked. It was called the chamber of memories. And one day, some of the servants in the palace got a peek inside, and they thought they would find great stores of gold or silver or valuable jewels or ancient books. They found none of that. They found an old shepherd's robe, the one the king had worn before he came to the throne. The Lord's Supper does the same thing as we remember when we gather. We remember where we came from. We remember what God has done. We remember that Christ paid a high price on the cross. Healthy Christians strive to make decisions and live lives that demonstrate the fact that their lives are not their own. They were given. And that's why we take time to examine our lives in each service of communion. Healthy Christians participate regularly in the Lord's Supper. And lastly, the fourth thing is that they devote themselves to prayer. Prayer, regular, consistent, faithful prayer. Without the power of God, we can do no lasting work for Christ on this earth. And we know that if the church is too busy to pray, there will be lots of activity, but very little will be accomplished for the sake of Christ. Our prayers lay the track on which God's power can come, Watchman Nee once wrote. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. The Christian Index once ran the story of an African-American gentleman who was in service to General Stonewall Jackson during the Civil War. Many noticed that he was able to discern whenever the general was about to mount another expedition. So they inquired, they asked him, how do you know that? And he responded by saying, Mr. Jackson prays every night and every morning, but when he prays more than an hour, 2 or 3 hours during the night, that's when I pack his baggage, because that's when I know we're about to mount a new expedition. A healthy Christian prays regularly, faithfully, wholeheartedly, and so does a healthy church. Because the Holy Spirit was at work in the newborn church, four things were clearly evident to the world around them. Number one, the teachings of Scripture is what they were devoted to. Number two, Christian fellowship was a priority for them. Number three, the sacrament of communion is something they practiced regularly. And number four, prayer was a part of their daily lives. The same Holy Spirit that was at work in the early church is alive and at work in the lives of those who profess Jesus as Lord today. When we surrender our lives to Him, those four signs are visible in our lives too, and in our churches. Every blessing from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with every one of you and with the church in all times and places. Amen.